through these minutes, but they're not what I'm looking for. I've said, yes, if there are insecurities, then you just reflect the input. Don't take part of the input and reflect it in the minute. Because the problem is, you know, Mr. City here may have wanted to emphasize these things in the input. The minute taker may want to emphasize that, Johnny DeLonge may want to. Now, as soon as you start taking things out of an input, it becomes problematic in a minute, because you're making value judgments of what must be taken up. So, you know, I want to emphasize again, I'm not going to pass these minutes because they're going to give a wrong reflection. I want these minutes drafted that in terms of briefing, Mr. DeLonge gave an input entitled Da Da Da. A copy of the input is attached to the minute. Full stop. Full stop. If we then took a decision to say, we now, like yesterday, we said to them, yesterday I said to them, okay, we've now seen your input on the standards. You must now go and finalize it within a month and send us a copy of it. That's what you can record. The dust issues or the smog issues in townships, we say that you must give us a package of documents, and you must, before the end of the year, come and brief us on the program of action. Then that's all to be recorded. All the discussions, everything Mr. Rogers said, everything that Mr. Tessie said, we don't want that stuff, we don't need any emphasis. So let's try these minutes again. The second thing is that there's been in the debate on Parliament budget vote, the chief whip of the major opposition party raised the issue of late minutes. And it's clearly an issue for him. So what I'm thinking from now on is that I want these minutes, now that we're doing it so simply, I want them done immediately, or at least close to. You know, if you had came and briefed yesterday, then we do that minute immediately. Yeah, gave a briefing, and these were the things that were decided. So then you can discuss it with Dia, and at that moment record it, so that in that same week still, we are given copies of the minutes, and people can look at it, and we can fix it up. Okay, so I think we must follow. This is partly my fault. It's partly an old problem, because previously, in fact, we had pages and pages of what people said. We've now cut it down, but it's still not what I think it should be. Okay, so what I want us to do is, from now on, and maybe some of these minutes are actually fine, but I just haven't had a chance to read through them. So I'd rather let us redo them in the way that I'm saying. From now on, it is simple. Garada gave an input, a copy of their input is attached. There's nothing of the input that is said. Then only thing that our secretary and whoever takes notes must listen to is mainly when we are summarizing, to say these are the things we want you to do. Because even if we say something in the middle of the input, we may change it towards the end because the other inputs may come. So it's really more or less, I think that's what we must from now, and these minutes must be done quickly. Okay, and I'm going to help with this. Usually I was lucky previously, and maybe you guys can think about it, Mr. Rogers. What I used to do is, Garrett Morgan used to first let Teleka draft minutes and give it to Garrett, and he looks at it, see if he's happy with it, and then she gives it to me to say, okay, this is what we have to do. I look at it, well, and it's easier to say, okay, we know the minutes. So maybe even Marty can work out how we'll do that, and that you have a role to play in it. I just think it's easier for the committee if we run it like that. Okay. But let's try and do that. We will pass this minute on the NEMLA, because where's the other NEMLA?
Chairperson.
No.
There's something I would like to know.
Yes.
Patrolo colleges.
Yes.
They are treated differently from an ordinary meeting. Because with ordinary meeting, when you start a meeting, the minutes on your agenda,
yes,
right? Prayer, roll call and apologies, minutes and matters arising. But now, well, I don't think it's easy with the portfolio committees to do that.
Yeah,
it cannot.
So what we'll try and do is from now on, we will have as our first item minutes, but it won't necessarily be the previous day or whatever. It'll be whatever's available. Okay, so we'll try and from now on not let minutes pile up. But we're going to do them shorter, we're going to do them concise. So Chileka, after the meeting, immediately talks to the people who gave the input and see if they can agree on what, and she can even... I even now on my iPad, whatever instructions I give, I now put it on my iPad that I've got a record of it. So that even can help you to... So I don't always do it, but I try and do it at least afterwards. But I think we're going to try and do it like that. We're going to come a bit more effective about it. Of course, Scotty and Shireen, you two must play a role in this issue as well. If it's, you know, you guys must help with the reporting of the decisions or something. So it makes it easier. Because clearly, Chileka must be able to call on the two of you and, sorry, Tumani as well. Must call on you first in terms of what the myth is. Then, of course, we'll go to the DA and then it will come to me so that I can just, and then come to the committee, and that makes it easier for the flow of the work. Okay, let's try and do it like that. It's my fault that we haven't so far. It's just that it's a bit difficult to try and keep up with reports and inputs and try and give guidance and still give minutes. It's difficult. Now, some minutes are going to be very specific. Particularly minutes where we pass bills, those must be recorded very accurately. Because if someone ever disputes a bill, then clearly there must be a clear record. So I particularly, the NEMLA, when we passed the last NEMLA bill, I've particularly taken some time in recording that minute, and I have it today. I think we're going to finalize it, we're going to go through it. Because this is how I want us to do the minute from now on, for bills. Particularly ones where we wrote clause for clause. So if you can look at the minutes of the date was 15 May, you got that one?
Yes.
Okay, let's just go through it. On the front you'll see the agenda there, and then it's the attendance. There were 10 members in attendance. Attendance of staff. Then the chairperson opened the meeting and welcomed all present. He announced the purpose of the meeting as per the agenda. The portfolio committee had already on 27 March 2013 considered each clause of the bill separately and called for any amendments to the bill before political process in the bill through political party. The portfolio committee on this occasion again proceeded to consider the bill clause by clause, calling for any further amendments or comments, and this was followed by voting on the bill. The chairperson then called for adoption of the bill by calling for final comments or amendments on each clause separately, and then voting on a clause by clause basis took place before the whole bill was voted on as above. Clause 1, no further comments or amendments to this clause were forthcoming from the members. All 10 members present voted for this clause. There were no abstentions or voting against this clause. Clause 1 was passed unanimously. Then you'll see clause 2 is the same, clause 3 is the same, clause 4 is the same. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 are all the same, 15, and 16, 17, 18 is slightly different because it's plural. No further comments or amendments. These clauses were forthcoming from the members. All 10 members present voted for these clauses. There were no abstentions or voting against these clauses. Clauses 16, 17, 18 were passed together unanimously. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, all the same as the first ones, 27, 28, 29 also. Then, of course, long title, no further comments or amendments to this clause report coming from the members. Well, it's not actually a clause. It is no further comments or amendments to the long title. Just change the clause to the long title. And enactment clause. So actually just change that. Page 7, it's the long title and enactment clause. Instead of saying this clause, your long title isn't a clause. It's a long title. So we'll just say instead of this clause, we'll say the long title and enactment clause. Or then not this clause, it must all the rest of the thing must just change. If it's clause, no, actually the last sentence is right. The long title and enactment clause was passed unanimously. So just the three lines where it's clause, you say long title and enactment clause. Then whole bill placed before the portfolio committee. No further council amendments to the bill as a whole were forthcoming from the members. All 10 members present voted for the bill as a whole. There were no abstentions or voting against the bill as a whole. The whole bill was passed unanimously. Each clause is voted on separately and accepted unanimously by the 10 members present during the meeting. The chairperson then submitted the whole bill without any further amendments for consideration and adoption of the portfolio committee, and the portfolio committee unanimously passed the bill with no further amendments. In summary, the bill was passed unanimously by 10 members of the portfolio committee, are unanimously supporting each clause separately and then unanimously supporting the whole bill. The chairperson then called for the adoption of the report by the portfolio committee reporting on all aspects of the processing of the bill. The chairperson read through the report with the portfolio committee accepting further amendments. The chairperson then put the report with amendments to the vote. Honourable Skosana moved for adoption. Honourable Sikalala seconded. The portfolio committee unanimously adopted the report on the National Environmental Law Second Amendment Bill with a few amendments by the 10 members present. Closure. The chairperson felt the bill was in all respects legally and constitutionally compliant, was innovative and groundbreaking in some respects, and achieved the right balance between protecting the environment and the economic social development within the context of an evolving and developmental state. The chairperson mentioned that many persons were enthusiastic about the bill, trust the bill would boost economic and social development in South Africa within a sound, environmentally friendly and sensitive legal framework. The envisage that the bill would be debated in the National Assembly, presumably during June 2013. The chairperson thanked the official of the Department of Environmental Affairs who had worked diligently and professionally while processing the bill. Chairperson then thanked all members for their attendance of the meeting, closed meeting at 11. Now there's a little bit of repetition, but I think in future, obviously we'll get it much clearer. But I think the most important thing is the recording of the voting, which is most important. So I hope that this format will be acceptable. Do I get a mover for the Ms. Ferguson? Seconder? Sikalala. Okay, so Ferguson. Everyone for the bill? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All 8 members present. 8 members present. Passed. I think what you must go and do is at the in these minutes with the bill, at the bottom of the bill you must go and type this in. It was seconded, it was moved, it was seconded. And 8 voted for, so that's on the minutes as well. Just these minutes. We don't have to do that with the ordinary minutes, okay? Those where bills are passed, okay? Edmund present passed minutes unanimous. Alright, so in future, and then I'll sign it when you agree with that, okay? Let's just see this minute. Yesterday's minute, let me go and look at it, because I see what we've done is here, we've typed in every single amendment. And maybe that's a good thing. Let me think about this. I hadn't seen this one, so let me... Okay, what I'm going to do, we're going to redo the minutes, and I hope that the first meeting we have, when we come back, that we'll then finalize them. Hopefully, all the minutes must be done. Now listen to that, you guys must go and do these minutes for me in the next 2 weeks so I can get a chance to read through them. We can then send them to members and then it's easier to pass it beforehand. Let's try and catch up to date and then we'll have a new process from now on. We'll try and process the minute as soon as possible after following that process procedure we've already agreed to. Okay? Alright, now everyone happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's deal with that. Can I just say that I now have, not the official, but I at least have a SMS message from Mr. Frulich to say that the trip has not been agreed to. He has assured me, and he sent me another SMS when I asked the question. I said, is it something wrong with the application itself or anything? I said, no, there's an in-principle decision from the whip, from the chief whip of the ANC to say they're not approving any more study group trips. I imagine it's got something to do with elections. I haven't been given that reason, but I'm assuming because of the elections that most parties want their members to be in constituencies at this time. That's what I'm assuming it is. I personally don't agree with that. I sort of think there's more than enough time next year, 5 months for us to go and canvass and go mad and so on. But be that as it may, I don't make that decision. So unfortunately that is not there. And if it's an in principle decision and they can't agree now to it, I can't see them agreeing at any other time. But I will pursue it and just get clarity on it, because I do think it's something that we should be doing as a committee. I really think it would have been good for us to go to a country like China, who's grappling with a whole lot of stuff and renewable energy, and to have looked at that and see where the world is going to go on these issues. Because if China goes, that's where the world goes. And I was hoping that is, when we discussed this previously, that is what we were hoping to achieve out of this. But unfortunately, we're now stuck with it. I have started looking at a program, and just to say to you tentatively what my thinking is I think we start on the 22nd of July. There's three committee weeks. So what I thought was, when we come, we'll probably start with depending on how many submissions we've got, firstly on the green paper on oceans. Now I'm starting on the green paper on oceans so that we can get a holistic view on what people are thinking about policy on the oceans. And then in the same week, we'll do the public hearings on the integrated coastal management bill, also on oceans, so that we have the two together in that week, the first week. The second week, I thought we'll use that whole week for the EIA, and we may have to sit on a Friday morning as well, so that we can get all those. You remember there's how many? 50 or 40?
Yes.
40 or 50 submissions we received. So there's really a lot of them we have to get through, but I think a lot of them are going to be the same thing over and over. So I'm going to give short times for inputs and short times for questions, because my feeling is that a lot of these issues we've dealt with in NEMLA too, because we've streamlined the procedures on EIS. So a lot of the problems that have come to us are on the old legislation. But at least let's listen to them, see if there are further problems, okay? So the second week I'm thinking of EIA. Then the third week I'm thinking, in line with what Ms. Manganya said yesterday, I'm thinking of having that workshop, which I also mentioned in the House yesterday, the workshop on rhinos. And we invite, they'll have to bear their own cost, but the usual role players in rhinos, to invite them also to that workshop, so that we can have a chance to have interaction and still, like last time also, I remember we had the meeting with the role players and we could get some interaction. This time, and I'm thinking, as Ms. Manganya suggested, to have that in the Kruger Park. I've already asked DR to check for us if there's accommodation and so on for us as members. And a conference venue, and then obviously we'll invite all those role players, those that can attend and so on. Then we'll have time to and basically do it on the basis of the main topic for discussion is really the black market. I mean, you know, I've raised the issue of, and this committee, all of us have raised it, although Mr. Koornhof has a different view on it, on the issue of the legal trade of legal limited trade of rhino in animals that have died of natural causes. Now, what I want to do at that workshop is say, okay, that is one of the options, but if you have any other options, but what we want you to do is, you can't tell us that we must just ignore the black market. I mean, that can't be the solution from the NGOs to say, well, we just you know, there's nothing we can do about the black market. There has to be a big discussion, but that won't be the only. So I think on the second day of the workshop, we'll spend mainly on that discussion, on what are your options of breaking the black market. So you can come with any options you want. You don't have to take the one on the legalizing of the trade in a limited sense. And on the first day, I think we'll deal with all the other kind of things. We'll have a little, I think we'll break down into groups, let these people have their say on things like law enforcement, what weaknesses are in law enforcement, the kind of biological, the growing of the national herd. I mean, what options are there? You know, the whole DNA stuff and all those kind of things. How do we get more space for rhino, et cetera, et cetera, you know. And that will also include the hunting industry. because, and as I said, when I mean, in my input in the debate I gave, is that one of the amazing things that makes South Africa different from other countries is that such a big part of private land set aside for animals. So that has been a very successful conservation tool. And it's something, although some people say, no, we must be careful of the hunting, of course the bad parts of the hunting industry we have to be careful. But we must also make it viable for people in the private sector to see this as an option. Because if they do that, although we'll then limit and regulate how many animals gets culled in the process, at least that's a source of regeneration and keeping. So those things we must discuss, because it's one of the success stories of South Africa. And it's how we regulate it and so on to make it viable, yet not a luscious thing. Because I mean, obviously the input we're going to get from that sector is, give us our glance, let us do what we want. We're not going to do that. We want to give space for them to be able to see that as a good option, but clearly there'll be strict restrictions and such. So those kind of debates, you know. And the whole international thing, the MOUs and stuff and like that. So we'll get people to give inputs in these little things, and we'll have a little, say, 2-hour discussion. So that first day I was thinking of using on the main topics to give some space for us to discuss these things, hear from the stakeholders, and then as I say, the second day we use really to say, okay, so what are the options for the land market? What do we do about it? And that will be a nice place where we can connect again with these role players, have interactions, hear debates, like we did last time. I mean, this whole thing of the legal trade came from those first inputs, didn't it? And then someone like Dr. Ian Player, I'm thinking of inviting there, because he was very much in the forefront of where we are today, and he's one of the great advocates of our limited legal act. So there's someone that's in the conservation community can come say these things and debate it. So if they give us permission for that, if there's space for us and so on, if not, I'll think of other possibilities, but I really want us to try and use that third week really to have some things around rhinos and so on. Hopefully then also spend 1 or 2 days. I was thinking maybe on the Wednesday, if the program is necessary for also the Wednesday, we'll make the Wednesday. Otherwise, on the Wednesday, we'll probably take inputs from DIA on all the state of reports. Remember, there's a state of the ocean, state of the this, and state of the that. Maybe we've already said we need to set aside a day to listen to all that, because that'll equip us and give us information of what are the big problems in the oceans? What are the big problems in, I know there are 5 state of, what are they, Shireen? State of air, state of environment, state of rivers, I think, state of something and what. In any case, there's state of, and then there's the big environmental state of the environment. So we'll also take one day in that week, of course, to do a state of the things. The Friday is a public holiday, so we'll try and get home at least on the Thursday morning so people at home in time and that, okay? So that is the thinking so far. Then the climate change hearings, there's a committee week at the end of September, so I'm thinking of putting that week aside for the climate change. Also because in October is the big review on climate change. So it'll be good if we can have the hearing in that last week of September. That'll also prepare them and see how ready they are for that big review. Then in the first week of October, we also always spend the first week on BRRRP, whatever, that other nonsense. So we'll spend only that week again on it. In the second week, we'll adopt reports for it. And then all the other issues are fit in between. Because I now hear that there are 4 bills, well, you heard yesterday, 4 bills actually on the way to cabinet. So we're going to have to make big space to do public hearings and process those bills and so on in this last term. So we'll do that. So I am busy drafting that the agenda for the rest of the year. And as I say, we'll be leaving open space for these for the legislation and that. But all these big issues, the EIA, the oceans, the rhinos, the climate change, all those, I've taken committee weeks to try and do that kind of work, okay? And then the BRR, we have to do it in the first week of October. and then the rest. So I'll let you have that as soon as possible. Anyone want to say anything about it? Anything we want to? Okay. I think that's mostly program stuff. So that means the first 2 weeks of the committee, which will do work, the third week we'll go on an oversight trip. Then next week Parliament starts after that, and there's all little short bursts. And actually the year is very short. I see the last day of Parliament is the 11th of November. Usually the last year, day of Parliament is the 27th of November, the 28th are usually the last. So it looks like we're adjourning also 2 weeks earlier. So we have to take that into consideration, okay? Those are all the program things. Anyone have any comments, anything I should take into consideration when drafting the report or the agenda? Any guys, when you get it, there will be time to comment, so it won't be. Okay. Alright, let me just say, there's no other work for us. Let me just say that I firstly wanted to say to Ms. Lomo and Ms. Rogers, who are new members in the committee, I hope that the last few weeks and months that you've been here have been enjoyable. I have definitely, as a chair, found your inputs and your participation very valuable. And if there are any further issues you want to raise, then of course please do so. But at the moment I hope you've slotted in as well as it seems you have slotted in. To the rest of the members, I just wanted to say once again, we've had a very hectic period. I am very mindful of the fact that most of you have to spend 2 to 3 days on the work of this committee, whereas all other committees, they only spend 1 day. So I'm very aware of it, and I'm very grateful that the diligence that you all show and the support you show to me as a chair, I really appreciate it. It makes my job so much easier to try and be a fair facilitator of debate in the committee and to give everyone a chance to make sure they fulfill their political mandates but also their personal interests and endeavors. Makes my job as a chair really, really very easy. I have found that the level of debate in the committee and when we have debates in the House is very useful. Unfortunately, this being an election year, one of the debates was a bit more rowdy than usual. But that's not a bad thing to say. It just shows that we're also other animals when we get into other kind of environments, and that is political animals. But I must say that I really appreciate the intellectual endeavors that we put into our work. I find it very fulfilling. And the committee, I think, functions very well. And so big thank you to all of you, and particularly to opposition parties. I know I emphasize this in the committee, but it's important to say that it's easy. I've found in other committees that people don't necessarily intellectually look at issues, but see, what political gains got out of everything. Even there is no political gain, even if no one sees it, because they're in a committee like this, and they do it. But I find that we in this committee have the ability, and I want to thank you to particularly to keep the base intellect and meaningful medicine. Then to the staff, I know I'm in one sense I'm an easy taskmaster, that I am relatively relaxed, but in another sense I know that I'm a tough taskmaster in terms of the things that I expect from staff. I want to appreciate you firstly for indulging me, but secondly for the very good work that you do, all of you. Chaleka, you, Darren, who's new, I hope you're enjoying it, Darren. When I started in Parliament, Darren was my person that looked after our floor, so we've now been reunited. And it's nice to have you here, and quality of work has been good, and you do your work well and very unobtrusively. Then our researchers there. What I do like about our researchers is that you take initiative. For example, during the budget vote, I didn't have to call you in for a meeting to say, well, go and look at the reports and so on. There suddenly was this report on my table. I want to thank you guys for the quality of work, both of you, Tomani and Dr. Scott. I call him Dr. Scott. Scottney, very much thank you for the work you guys do. and you know that I've got an open door if you want to come with suggestions and so on, and please, the more information you are able to put in an accessible form to the committee, the easier you make it for the committee. I mean, I just go and look at the piles of documents in my room. It's impossible to read everything. So the work you guys put in, you make it easier for the members. Mm-hmm. So take the initiative on these. Like these, when you get the program for the year and you say, okay, EIA, all the submissions, you take those submissions, you start going through them and already pull out the threads for the members so that when the members start the hearings, we put a document in front of them and say, this is what we found during the submissions. These are the issues people are raising. The Ocean Green Paper, Scottney, it's your bread and butter there. I mean, go through it, make it accessible, put in two or three pages for the members. The ICM bill that we're doing, again, try and make it simple for the members. So you guys have got an important role to play, and don't wait for me to ask for things. Tomani, this year you just automatically send the document yourself. Please keep doing that, okay? You must know that we read those. It's easier for me to read your documents than go read all these thick documents from wherever they come to get an idea. All right, so please, and as far as research for the rest of the members are concerned, please help as far as you can. Then the ever-suffering Miss Dawood, she has a tough job. She's got the most used phone in Parliament. I at least get about 3 or 4 SMSs a day. During a meeting, that will go up to about 10 SMS during a meeting as going on. And I do really, maybe I don't always show it, Shireen, but I do appreciate your the job you've got is of content advisor. And that is really to kind of show me what work is coming along when we're doing the work, what are the options of the work, all that thing. I really appreciate all the hard work you do. All those things you do, you may not know it, but I read every single thing you send. It takes half my day, but at least half my day is spent well by. So I really want to thank you very much for the work you do. And whatever other support we get, there's my Tanya sitting in the corner. After my wife, there's no one that suffers as much as she does. Maybe Tadeko would try and argue with that, but between the three of them, I think they kind of on par. So thank you for all the support we've got. I think it's been a relatively good year. My worry is that the next two terms are going to be really tough. We are going to have so many pieces of legislation. I'm worried that we're going to have to rush it, which I don't. You know me with legislation. I rather take my time with legislation, because the more you look at it, the more you think about it, the better the legislation becomes. There is no simple, and no one has the answer to legislation. It's through discussion where you can see where the problems are, and you need time for legislation. Other things you can go quicker, but legislation takes time. I'm really worried about it, and when I look at our bosses in Parliament's approach to this matter, it seems to me to a large extent elections are going to be put before work, which really worries me. And when I say this, I'm not saying it of one party, I'm saying it of all parties. Because everyone is exactly the same. The bosses all want us to be in Hastings, getting drumming of support and so on. So I do understand those, and we'll try and make sure that there's a good balance. But there are, we have to try and do as much of the work as we can. All right, I think that's what I wanted to say. But a really sincere thanks to all the members and all the staff for the year. I think we've done quite well. Anyone else have anything to say? Mr. Sikulala, Ma?
Chairperson, it is just a pity that the whip, our whip is not present. My Jane, too, is not present. From then, just to, on behalf of us, the members of this portfolio committee, they were going to say something. But I think I can do that, seeing that we are all children around you. I remember when you joined this portfolio committee, I was just wondering, how is this one now? I looked at you, I studied you, I said, yeah, it seems as if things won't go well with this one. But as time went on, I was surprised. I felt that we are very lucky that we had a disciplined, clear chairperson. Why I say this? When you took over, there was mess with the Department of Water. There was real mess, I'm telling you. And you just had to take, to forget a little bit about the environment. You went in. You went in like this. And things came back. So, on behalf of the committee, really and truly, I would love to say we are the most lucky. The way you conduct us, clear, when we compare with other portfolio committees, in fact, though we can't mention names, but you find that we have a teacher, a born teacher among ourselves. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And the way you are handling us, the message of the opposition parties, you don't let us feel that we are. You see now, I don't have the words to, but we just feel things are, well, we all belong to you. We are all your children. Thank you very much. Keep it up.
Thank you for the kind words. Charlie? Or Mr. Teddy? Charlie, you first? Both can speak.
Thank you for Chairperson. I think due to the, my colleague from the IFP side, I think I'm very proud that it's seeing inside the edge is always up. So say we are the child of this committee. So I think the reason I'm proud is quite respect for this meeting, for due to the, your leadership. Because it's I with the Chairperson and you coming to this committee, I just early you about 1-2 months. So I also learned a lot from the yourself. But from the beginning, I'm totally disagree for your chair meeting function. Because you turn over for the patient everything. But I just thought of that, I just asked myself, Charlie, do you know everything for the, you asking questions? Whether you listen to the Chairperson. Because I respect for you as students because you are very, very senior, 20 years, nearly 20 years. So I think it is quite right. And all your leadership of whatever it is, two departments, is very difficult department, all travel department, especially for the water affected. So can come into the smoothly for the until now. But it's got a lot of problems for the EG side. Then I think that for this committee is quite strong. Even the debate. You see, I'm also trusted here in the parliament. So we never saw the opposition party is very, very cooperative. Not only for against, to against, but there is the principle in this committee. Because they respect your leadership. So why is there not too much fighting in the member to the member? Always we fighting to the DF or IFP or COF. We talk in anything that I mean that I try. So I think this one also is good for the democratic people for this side. So I just say for this committee are quite enjoyable. Even though we are very busy for 1 week, 2 days, 3 days. But we still really enjoy it. If you from my attendance, I'm near the 100% attendance. So I quite learned a lot from the Johnny, your leadership. But one thing today I want to talk. Because too many members complain, say, through the 5 years, this committee never go to the overseas or Southeast trip. Then Chairperson, since last year, you already tried. Let the leader for this committee go overseas. Even the last year, November already organized for the China Council General. We are meeting outside of the hotel. Due to the Morgan, me and the Magani, and the Chairperson, and the staff. We're discussing for the overseas trip. But some mistake is from our administration side. Unfortunately, I must say, I with the chairman and you said, If wrong, I put it straight. Because I shouting to the Council General, obviously it's official. I said, why take the wrong time? From the November until the March. I said, already 5 months passed. You never replied to us. How is our trip going? He said, sorry, Dr. Huang. I show you a document. Your document is the one sent to the China Council General, but your document right in the U.S. Ambassador. So they hold this document. I said, no, but we already meet your boss together. Even this small thing is wrong. And you must quickly call to our secretary, adjust. He said, sorry, can you send a new letter for us? In March, we push. He said, sorry, March is now. Our government elected new leadership, so we are no time for arranging for coming with step to your committee. So from the March until the May, we push every day. But one thing, we make a mistake. I don't know if the chairperson, you accept my opinion. Because this government side, China government side, asked me, can you approve for us? Your parliament already approved, your committee can go overseas. If he approved, we can go arrange all your schedule day by day. Because the timing is very important. Which way you want to go? I said, yes, because my chairperson told me that everything is fine. But I didn't know we need approved by the House Chair, Speaker, Chief Whip. So I pushed very hard. When I shout in his face, say, why you take this long time for every day we need to push you? Then after he changed to the other man changed the other lady again. So after, I think two weeks ago, they approved. Because we push every day, he already very angry. Then now is our problem coming. Now our speaker, our house chair says, sorry, you come in, your application sent too late. Why you don't send it to the March? Now is the election time coming. But I get it more concerned from my side because I go push by myself, by private, you guys, my relationship. Everything they say, okay, we try our best away. Get everything smoothly for your delegation. Now approve. Now, outside parliament not approve. Now he told me everything. Now I can't receive a telephone now. You see, I already lose my ticket. You see, the problem is before, from the beginning, she already asked to me, can you approve to me, say your parliament already approved your delegation in the court? Because they need too many things like this one. They do it also hard job and take 1 month, 2 months arrangement. Then after, we just stop. They say, hey, your committee also useless. You can't waste our time. Then you push every day, then shouting to us. Now your people, now stop. So yesterday, I speak to the chairperson and say, if we try our best way, can go negotiate with the House Chair or the Chief Whip. Because the study trip, like the chairperson, is very important. You see, China is everyday's problem. We must all learn something from China. So unfortunately, if they don't approve, say, it's spoken 1 year for election day. Why they don't take second step, say, alright, we only allow you a few members. Chairperson, you take about 2, 3, 4. Alright, we give you a chance. Then you pay your own accommodation and the transport. Parliament pay only own ticket. Then we still can realize with this China government relationship. Otherwise, next time we want to go to the request, please arrange a trip for us. They say no. Only approve later coming, then we can start. Then we never make a motivation to our chairperson, the top chair. Say, what trip we want to go in the from which period or what month. If second option is which month. Then if a parliament can approve, say what? Right. In the principle, we approve second month or the first step. Then I think it's easy, and we arrange it for in future this trip. So I just mentioned to the other member, understand. Is this when the chairperson is already beginning from the last year, you already want to try organize this trip. But too many things is very difficult. Thank you,
sir. No, thank you, and it's good that you've raised that. Look, this trip, there's been a lot of problems. The first problem is that we should arrange all our arrangements through DIRCOM. If you want to go overseas, you do it through DIRCOM. Now, members will remember here how we struggle with DIRCOM. Every time we ask them, check with us if we can go last year on a trip, every time they told us, no, this is not good for the Chinese, this is not good for the Chinese. That is why we stopped working with Durko. In fact, if anyone turns around, if the chief whip turns around and says, why haven't you worked through Durko? I'll be in trouble for it. Because we stopped working through Durko. Because that is where it should be done. It is done on a government-to-government level. Parliament doesn't get involved in that. But in the end, when I had dealings with this person on the Chinese desk or whatever desk they are, we just got nowhere with this person. So we then made this direct contact. Maybe it was a mistake. The direct contact with the Chinese consulate, because we had Cha here, to make it easier. And we tried to do it that way. So in a way, that is where our problem started. We didn't have a Department of Foreign Affairs that was handling this thing in a way that made it. In the end, I said, but please then find out when will be that we find. If you don't want to, remember we wanted to go in the winter. Where everyone said, but we can't go in winter. But we said, okay, let's go if we can. Check us for us. And Durko didn't do so. That's where the problem started. Secondly, as I kept on saying, is we will not know whether Parliament will approve it until we've got everything ready. So that is why we had to get the program done and so on and so on. And in the process, you've had to burn your bridges, which I'll make a suggestion about now. Then the problem, of course, is that the chief whip or no one in this parliament ever told us they're going to stop whips. So it's not a question of us going to say to them, but okay, let some of us go. They have taken an in-principle decision that no one will leave in this parliament will leave for overseas. An in-principle decision. As I say, no one has told me why, but I'm assuming it's the elections. That they said people must go and work in their constituents on. Because the first thing I said to Frulich is, okay, do you want us to move it to a later date? And he said, Johnny, what I've been told by the chief whip is I cannot approve any trip overseas. It's an in-principle decision. Not looking at the merits of the case, it's in-principle that politics now become before our work. So I think that you must realize that. Now, what I am going to do is, Mr. Dr. Huang, I do realize how much you've invested in this, and I really apologize for it. I don't know anything about the American letter that was written, you know, to America. I mean, we were wanting to go to China, so I'm not sure why it went to America, but I just don't know about it, and I have not signed any letter like that or seen it. So I apologize for that. But what I will do is I will draft a letter, not just give me time till Friday. I will draft a letter apologizing on behalf of the committee to the Consul General, explaining some of the problems that we've had, both from Durko's side and, of course, in Parliament. I mean, I don't understand, firstly, why we've never received a circular like this. I mean, I would imagine if you were running Parliament, the first thing you send is a circular to members to say, don't apply for stud group trips. It's only when you apply now, they say, no, but there's been an in-principle decision. I mean, if there's an in-principle, why don't they tell us in caucus or somewhere that in-principle that there's not going to be any trip? Then we don't have to go to all this work. So I'm not making excuses. I take full responsibility for all the issues. But as I say, some of it just has been impossible. I mean, Durko has been something beyond me. And what has happened in Parliament, who's taken the decision, is beyond me. As far as the admin of the committee is concerned, clearly I take that responsibility for that. So again, all I can say is I apologize for the committee and particularly yourself for the kind of emotional and intellectual capital you had to put on the line for this, and it hasn't come out to fruition. So we'll still try and at least do a decent letter to apologize and explain the problem. Mr. Tetsi and then Ms. Ferguson.
Sure, just a small point of concern on the side, and I think I assume it's also a concern for other members of the committee. And I think that at some stage you try to attend the conference that apparently you succeed. I mean, about answering other committees and this committee being so demanding. And coincidentally, I think of it again in front of me. It is not the level you cannot do. Do not let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do. But we worry a lot. You think that you're not enough for your work, you are just in the process and you are lost. You know, we can't participate. You try to catch up, but you have to take care and listen to us, other people are still. So it's really a problem, but like I say, sometimes it's just beyond our control.
I have tried, and I still try behind the scenes, to influence people to allow MPs to specialize. I don't believe in MPs that float around in 15 committees. It's just wrong for the MP because you don't never develop, you don't get an area of skills, and you therefore become the person they use for everything. And that's the problem, is you're undermining the individual members by doing that. It's because that member, I mean, Charlie, as he says, he's 100% attending this committee. Whatever he knows in Parliament, these committees, he's involved. He can talk authoritatively. If you're belonging to two, three committees, firstly, how do you reach that? You can't. It's just, and especially I find it very problematic with the ANC. I can understand with the smaller parties, there's just so much they can do. But the ANC and the DA have got enough people to specialize, and I really, I have again, very recently, sat and spoke to the chief whip about this and said there's no reason why people should belong to more than one committee. You've got more than enough members to cover Parliament. And if people, you know, were attending the other committee meetings, our members didn't have to attend to two. So it's you and Mr. Kosana, both of you. He's also with Education. I don't know how regularly he goes.
Why?
No, this is the problem. Some people have been given two committees and others one. So we are trying to fight behind the scenes to get this thing changed. But you must know that I fully understand.
Chairperson, how does it come with for the ruling party? Because there are so many.
Yeah,
I can't understand really.
It's just bad planning, Mom. And it's just, you see, we don't learn. We've been here for 20 years. You think after 20 years you don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. I mean, I must be honest, you know, it's people like the DA that I have a lot of respect for in that sense. I don't know other parties how they operate, but the DA is quite big, so where they do that kind of specialization. In us, we messing up MPs. You're messing up this. You see, in the end of the day, even when I have to, if I have to give a report on you, I have to give a half a report on you. Another chairperson gives a half a report on you, because two different chairs see you differently, because they only see you so much time. Whereas with Charlie, I see him all the time, so I can write a report and say, this is what Charlie does. But, you know, so it is, the problem is it's political decisions elsewhere. We are just wrong. But we'll keep fighting the battle.
You can imagine when we run short of forming a quorum, and you find that the members from the ruling party are not there.
Now, this is the problem with quorum, you see. If I knew that I had six members, I know those members should be nowhere else, they should only be here. Now, immediately, I don't know where Mr. Tsetse is going to be. She may have legitimate tasks, but I don't know it. Mrs. Kosan, I wouldn't know it, because that's the problem that it takes. It takes away, and this is what I explained, we moan about discipline in the Parliament and so on. The problem is the way we run things, that's where discipline starts. Because we don't run things properly on proper management lines. I mean, as soon as you say to someone, belong to more than one thing, from that moment onwards, you undermine your own discipline, your own planning, because no one really knows where that member. I know where Charlie should be, I know where I should be, because we just have one committee. But I don't know where you should be, and no one tells you that you're going to be somewhere else. And all that we get, we get an apology or whatever, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, the problem doesn't start here, and that's why I will never blame members at this level. At this level, is we try and manage it as best we can. Okay, Ms. Ferguson.
Thank you very much. Very much almost echoes. I also feel very strongly when I'm divided, but we have all got, and so unfortunately we have to do that. But having said that, I have to say that I have found this committee to be very empowering. I have found the chairperson, the other members, and I say this very sincerely, I've learnt a lot. I'm still learning. I have a lot of continue learning, but it's really been an empowering experience for me. As Lara said, you don't shut us down, you encourage the debate. I said in my speech that you ask, and committee asks, oftentimes very pressing and hard questions to the department, and I look at it and I must tell you, I look at it and think, I wish all the committees were run that way. where it's not party political, but it's a committee that's looking at how we're going to improve lives of all of us in South Africa. So I just want to thank you as the chairperson, and thank the whole committee, particularly the staff, for being there for us. I am also, as Doug says, I'm disappointed that we're not going away. It's unfortunate that it's unraveled the way it has. I think it makes me feel a little bit disillusioned, but we'll make up for that by going to the Kruger Park, I hope. I'm looking forward to the next half term. It's going to be tough, and I've heard it from my other committee as well, that a lot of expectation. But thank you very much, and thank you to all my fellow committee members for also being very supportive, and thank you for being very supportive. Thank you.
I just want to raise a matter that was discussed in the last week or the week before with the Department of Environmental Affairs regarding transfrontier hawks and MOUs and treaties with Botswana, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and I think this city was one of them. I asked for that to be circulated, which I think was the day you were off here. So I was asked today to follow up on that. We still haven't received that check. Then also just from my side, and probably on behalf of Marty as well, You've given the committee and the honourable members a lot of credit, but I think you need to take the credit, Chair, for the tone that's set in your meetings. Committees are only as good as the chairperson. The chairperson sets the tone, the chairperson sets the mood, and the chairperson is either prepared or unprepared. And in our case, we give you the credit for that, Chair. And I think you're supposed to take the credit yesterday in the Senate. Very few budgets that were unanimously accepted, and both water and environment were unanimously accepted. So from our side, we give you the credit, and we're happy to work together as a team. As long as the chairperson is the team leader, we can only go forward. And also just thanks to staff and to all the other members. I'm fairly new, but I really feel part of a family. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Mark Long.
Thank you very much, Anita. Thank you very much. One of the newest members and the oldest. And really, I have felt very welcomed. I would reiterate the fact that our chairperson is one that really makes you feel you are special and you are wanted. And we learn quite a lot from you. Coming to this committee, as I say, I have been very, very, very pleased to see that we are together for the people that we represent. And we are not really in party politics and really, really, I would thank everyone that has supported me. The staff, the real people, whenever I needed help. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Mark. Anyone else? Happy? All right. No, that's not. Who? Oh, Miss May. Okay. I was looking at my there, and then I saw she caught my eye, and then she looked down, so I wasn't sure. Okay. Sorry, I apologize.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the chairperson for his leadership. We are grateful to have you as our chairperson. The way you treated us equally, even sometimes we used to have no questions, but you are always there for us to interrogate the department. It's ours for water and environmental fairly. We also like to thank the staff and teachers for their assistance, especially during the meetings, as well as when we ask for assistance during our debates, you are also there for us. And I would also I'd like to thank my colleagues for all their support and commitment they've shown in the committee. Although I'm also very disappointed that the last 10 years the committee has never took any overseas trip with study tours, but other committees, although they have been given the chance, but for us we are very disappointed. Because what also very concerned to me was that during the climate change conference, COP17, COP18, and there were people who are not, most people who have not allowing us to go to those conferences, but they were attending those conferences on our behalf, because we, as the committee, were supposed to be there to go to represent our committee, but they were there presenting us. And even in South Africa, in the COP17, in our country, we're not given a chance to go and attend the portfolio committee, but instead we go there and represent us. This, I find this as being greedy and also undermining our portfolio committee and the chairperson. But I should also consider, I would also like the committee to consider that we are dealing with two departments and that there are many issues that we are, that is upon our shoulders, that we also need to go for oversight. To go for oversight. Because we find out that we only go once a year for oversight, whereas we have two committees that are on our hands. Therefore, I would like also in future to look at the issues of oversight and to visit the regional offices, especially on water affairs. Water affairs, there's mostly things that are happening there in those offices. And once again, I would like to thank all of you and wishes you all the best during the
afternoon.
Thank you. Chairperson, the warmth, the respect, the discipline from the staff, it's amazing and encouraging. That's what the secretary.
She runs a tight ship. Can I just say thank you to everyone? I hope all the issues have been raised. And I think, you know, it's important to, and we should really make this part of Parliament, is that one thing I've learned in my 20 years in politics and so on, that it is important that we uphold what we say we believe in, and that is our constitution. We want to create a constitutional democracy, then we must understand firstly what is there, we must understand what we are fighting for and the values, and then we must live by them. So one of the things of a constitutional democracy is exactly to be inclusive. And that's the one thing that as a chair is quite easy to do with a committee like you, because it's a committee that is united, that's dealing with matters easily. Because there's my simple philosophy to something is that it's only when you are intellectually worried that you can't deal with issues that you start running a committee in a way that undermines people. For me it's been simple from the beginning, day one of being a chairperson, very simple. As soon as someone had a better idea than me or my party, all I did was embrace the idea. That's what democracy is about. You listen to people's ideas, and if they're good, you accept it, you make it part of you, and you go forward. And you give them, and if you have any sense of integrity, you give them credit for their idea. It's a simple thing we have to do. And that is my philosophy about this committee, and about any committee, about anything I run, is that intellectually be honest and be vigorous in the work you do. At least you can sleep at night, and you can give space for things. And then suddenly things fall in place. It's a simple, very simple thing. But of course, the problem is that it doesn't always work. Even if you try that, in some instances it doesn't work. Of course, it depends on the mix of people. So it's good that we have that. And the other thing is, I do know that I am very strong in the way that I lead issues and I, as Charlie says, take over. But I do that for a specific reason. I'm not prepared to sit and for hours and hours sit and let us bumble through things and not know what the issues are. I'd rather give strong leadership, ask some of the questions up front, and then set the terrain for us to interact and debate. It just, you know, I've just had in too many meetings where people sit and chair and they think by just letting things flow on that it helps anyone. It helps no one. So I believe that if you made leader of a collective, do it in a way that the issues are on the table and then lead it to the members to get involved with the issues. Then at least you put it on the table. That's again a simple thing.
Yeah.
And you will never find me trying to stop anyone from asking questions.
No.
But once the issues are on the table, then anyone asks whatever they want to, because we're ready with those issues. The problem is if you have to then let everyone try and help to get the meeting going, it just doesn't work. So sometimes I may overdo it a bit, but just know that it is to try and get things going and throwing in the right direction. The last 4 years, well, last 2 years, I've only been here for 2 years, it's been actually a great pleasure. It's kind of revived me as a person. I've enjoyed it more than justice. I never thought I would say this to anyone, but I've actually enjoyed it more than I enjoyed justice, where I thought it's what I am. Be careful in the holidays. Remember, it's not what you do on the roads, it's what others do is the problem. So be careful on the roads. You know, many people die every holiday time in our country. and we will try and rectify some of the wrongs I think have done to this committee. Ms. Bingo has opened up a very, very sore wound of other people in Parliament attending what we should be attending. And of course, now we have having the knowledge. And then when they're there, absolutely none of them attend the meetings. Because I'm in those meetings, I can see they're not there. In fact, Scotty is there, Shireen. We know that they don't attend those meetings. They go there, they've been appointed. Because the problem is, you go sit and listen to something you haven't got a clue about. You now, for the first time, at a high level, entering a debate at a high level, and you haven't got a clue what it's about. That's the foolishness about it. Yeah, well, you know, it's just terrible. It's those things. Okay, we'll try and rectify that. In any case, we'll try and do our program as best we can. And I will still, I have asked Mamanganya Charlie. I have asked Mamanganya, in any case, to intervene with the Chief Whip and see if there are any possibilities to take the thing forward. Okay?
I was with
her. Were you with her? Okay.
This morning, she was hoping.
Yeah. Well, I will ask her. She's our NAC member on the committee, so we're trying to use that influence. Let's adjourn, and we'll have the minutes and the water report ready for you next time, plus the program, and enjoy your holiday till the 23rd. Bye-bye.
I